All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. It is Christmas Day. I'm so excited to be right there with you in your home or wherever you're joining us today. And I'm just encouraged that all of the craziness of this year, man, 2020 has been crazy, but nothing could stop Christmas. Just like that very first Christmas, nothing could stop it. And it may not look like you thought it was going to look. It may not feel like what you had expected. But I believe that's what the first Christmas was like. It wasn't exactly what people were expecting. When Jesus came, it didn't look like what many people had been waiting for. And it's why so many people missed it. That the Son of God didn't come, the Savior didn't come and find his place of birth in a palace, but rather he was in a stable in the shadow of Herod's palace on the hilltop. So I want to just encourage you that Satan can't stop God's plan in your life. Satan can't stop God's plan in your life, just like he can't stop Christmas. He's been trying for years. Even 2,000 years ago, when King Herod tried to stop Christmas, he failed. In 2020, this crazy year we're in, a pandemic tried to stop Christmas, but yet here we are. It failed. Nothing can stop Christmas. So that's the first encouragement I have for us today. It's exciting to know that we can still gather together. We can still celebrate the fact that Jesus has come to save us. Christmas is a celebration of God coming to earth, God coming to us, coming in human form. And it is a celebration. It's one of the most amazing, most special moments in human history. God loving us so much that he sent his Son to save us. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's what we celebrate today. God came to earth. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Isaiah prophesied that God was coming, and he referred to him as Emmanuel. Matthew in the Gospels quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he says in verse 23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The story of Christmas is so special, so wonderful, so amazing, and that's why I wanted to do something special this year, and every single week have a different special guest sharing about a different character in the story. I just thought, wow, what better way for us to really get into this story? And I've enjoyed so much every single week learning more about the different characters in this story. And on Sunday, just 2 days from now, we will look at the last character. So make sure that you're here and you don't miss that. We still have one more character to look at. But today I want to share some thoughts that God has placed in my heart for you. Something special for us today as we celebrate Christmas. And I want to mention maybe a few characters that we haven't looked at, some that have caught my eye, who I believe, I want to share with you who I believe is the main character of the Christmas story. Now imagine for a moment when we're thinking about this story, I want you to imagine Joseph and Mary. And this is after, you know, last week, Pastor Kerry shared about Mary. You know, that Jesus was born, and I want you to imagine this part of the story when they are taking him to the temple. It's time to present baby Jesus at the temple. He was circumcised on the eighth day, and then according to the Old Testament, according to Leviticus, he was taken to the temple on the 40th day. So here's Jesus, just 40 days old, and according to the Old Testament, he is being taken by his parents to be dedicated to God. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24, we read, "When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated or dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." I want you to look closely at the offering that Joseph and Mary brought to the temple. They brought, as it says, two doves or two pigeons. The offering according to Leviticus would have been one lamb and one pigeon or one dove, unless you were poor. And if you were poor and you couldn't afford a lamb, you were allowed to bring two doves or two pigeons. So here we see this young couple with this amazing task, with this most honorable role, that they are actually going to care for God's own son. They're going to raise him as their own. They were poor. They couldn't even afford a lamb. Imagine the most blessed couple in human history, and they were poor by the world's standards. They were highly favored by God's standards, but poor by the standards of the world. And I share this to give you some perspective this year. Don't be distracted by the things around you. Don't be led astray by the things of this world. Don't let things catch your attention here or there and miss what is important. Don't find your worth or your value or your identity in anything that doesn't last forever. Don't find your worth in things that are not eternal. Favor comes from God. Favor is the fruit of faithfulness. If you are faithful, you will have God's favor. And favor in no way is linked to finances. I mean, God can bless your finances, and we all know times where God has provided and he will provide. But we also have all known, I know I have, known people that are very holy and very favored who had very little. And we look at Mary. Gabriel spoke to her and called her highly favored of the Lord, yet she couldn't even afford to buy a lamb to sacrifice at the temple. Now, after this at the temple, Simeon sees the baby Jesus. There's this old man there, Simeon. He sees the baby Jesus. He takes him in his arm. And he says in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 31, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." Man, he is so excited when he sees Jesus. This is what he has expected. This is what he has waited for. Here is the Savior. He's so excited. He said, "God, I can die now. Take me now. I've seen everything I need to see because I have seen your salvation, which has been prepared for the entire world." Then after this moment, and this is where I want to focus for just a moment with you, verses 36 through 38, another character comes into the story. One that you may have skipped over, one that you may not even remember being in scripture. It says, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. So she had been married 7 years after the marriage. Her husband dies and she remains a widow until she's 84. And at this time, she's 84 years old. It says she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them," meaning Joseph and Mary, "at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." But here's Anna. She never left the temple. Imagine that for a moment. What if I were to tell you, hey, if you want to live with God, if you want to have God in your life, if you want to live your life for him and have him at the center, you need to move into the church building and never leave. I mean, how many of you would do that? That seems crazy. But here's Anna, and at this time, she wants to live with God. She wants God to be a part of every moment of her life, so she moves into the temple. She never leaves the temple, worshiping day and night, fasting day and night, praying day and night. God was the center of her life. God was everything for her. She made the temple her home and she made God the center. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you?" Anna didn't experience what I just read to you. She didn't experience this being God's temple and God's Spirit dwelling in you, because that didn't happen until after Jesus had ascended to heaven, after he had completed his mission. She didn't see that happen. So for Anna, living with God meant moving into the temple and never leaving. She had no idea what was coming. For us, we know that, God's purpose is that we be the temple and that he live inside of us and make his home in you and me and never leave. So the Spirit of God lives in us. And I don't think it's an accident that 1 Corinthians 3:16 can relate so well to another famous 3:16. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So we see in these scriptures that God gives his only Son, and we are the temple that his Son comes to live in. His Spirit lives in us. So I think back to this young couple, simple, not wealthy, but they are faithful and they are favored, Joseph and Mary. When Mary was 9 months pregnant and they were desperate to find a home to rest in, desperate to find a place where she could give birth to Jesus, no one welcomed them in. I mean, if you remember the story, no one welcomed them. They kept trying to go and find a place. But now in the year 2020, you have a very special opportunity. You have this opportunity in your life that you don't have to live in the temple like Anna, but you do have to decide, will I make room for Jesus in my life? Will I allow him to come in, or are you too busy, too distracted, too focused on other things right now? Can you answer this question? I don't care what you've done throughout the rest of the year 2020. All that matters is, what will you do right now? What will you do right now in this moment? You can't change your past, but you can change your future by what you do in your present. And in your present, you are presented with the greatest present of all time, the greatest gift, a gift so great, so amazing, that Paul refers to it as an unspeakable gift. It's too great to describe. It's too amazing. Simeon knew it. Simeon knew it when he saw it. Wow, it's come. The Savior has come. The gift of salvation. It was so great. After seeing it, he's saying, God, I can go now. You can take my life. I've seen the greatest thing that's going to come to this earth. And you can experience this. Salvation has come. This unspeakable gift, a gift so amazing. Emmanuel, God with us, steps into the world. C.S. Lewis said, "Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world." Think about that for a moment. Once in our world, a stable held something that was bigger than our whole world. That's what happened in this story. If you're listening to me right now, God has stepped into your story. Don't miss it. Don't miss it this year. In spite of everything that's gone on, despite all of the interruptions, or in spite of the interruptions, don't miss this moment that something big is happening. God is stepping into your story. He's coming into your life. He wants you to be the temple, and he make his home, his dwelling inside of you. My prayer for everyone joining us today is that you would recognize your Savior this year, that you would recognize what has come, like Simeon, like Anna. You would recognize this moment, recognize this unspeakable gift, recognize the opportunity, and recognize who the main character of the Christmas story really is. So many wonderful characters, so many cast members. This series has been called The Cast of Christmas. So many amazing characters with important roles and amazing things that they've done. And I've loved learning about every single one of them every single week. I can't wait for this last one coming up on Sunday. But if I were to ask you, who is the leading role in the Christmas story? Who is the leading role? Who is the main character or the most important cast member of the story of Christmas? Is it Herod? Is it the shepherds? Is it Mary? Is it us? Is it us, the ones that God loves so much that he sent his son to save? I think we would all say that the most important character of the Christmas story is Jesus. Now let me ask you the most important question you will ever answer in your life. Is anyone thinking, whoa, but this is it. This is the most important question you will ever answer in your life. This is the defining question of life. This will define how you live. This is the most important thing. Who is the leading role in your story? Who is the main character in the story of your life? Who is the most important cast member in your life? Your answer determines how you live your life. Your answer determines how you make decisions. Your answer determines what direction you take. Who is the most important character, the leading role in your life? Is your story all about you? Is your story all about Jesus? Is your story just a part of Jesus' story? Is Jesus a part of you? Is he a part of your life? Or has Jesus invited you to be a part of his story? I believe that right now, Jesus is inviting you to be a part of his story. What an amazing opportunity. I don't want us to miss it. I want us to recognize it this year. Will you believe and go quickly like the shepherds did? Will you believe what I'm telling you and go quickly like the shepherds? Will you trust and obey like Mary? Or will you continue to believe that this life is all about you, like Herod did? It's all about me? Is all of this, is it about me, or is there something bigger? I believe that there's something bigger that's stepping into your life today, something bigger that we are celebrating the moment that God stepped into our world and stepped into our lives, and he's offering that to you today. Jesus has come into the world and invited you to be a part of his story. Will you recognize the amazing opportunity and be a part of Jesus' story and receive what Pastor Rick Warren describes as peace with God, peace with others, and peace in your own heart? I mean, how good does that sound? That's what's available to you. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace in your own heart. And that peace is available when we allow Jesus to step into our life. The moment you allow Jesus to step into your life, he is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring us peace, peace with God, peace with others, peace in our own heart. All you have to do is allow him in and give him the leading role. Allow him to lead your life. Give up that position of main character. Give up the leading role and say, Jesus, I want you to have the leading role in my story because you know where I need to be led to. You know the direction that I'm going in my life. Maybe you're thinking, wait, where does my value come from if I'm not the main character? How am I of value? What's my importance? How does anything matter? How do I matter if I'm not the main character? But your value, your worth, your importance, the reason you matter comes from the fact that Jesus came to find you and to save you because he loves you. What part will you play in his story? What part will you allow Jesus to play in your story? And remember, if you want to have favor with God, you need to be faithful. Can I pray for you today as we close our Christmas Day service? Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful for this unspeakable gift, the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. Lord, we recognize right now in our presence, your spirit is here. Lord, let us recognize it with the joy that Simeon had, that he realized there is nothing more important than this. This is the most important thing in life. I've seen with my own eyes your salvation has come. And Lord, I pray that we would be like Anna. The last part of those scriptures about Anna, when she saw you, Jesus, as a child, when she saw you being carried by your mother. And it says that she told everyone. She told everyone that had been waiting for a Savior that he has come. So Lord Jesus, this year, as we open our hearts and make room for you, as we welcome you into our life, as we welcome something bigger than our entire world to step into our lives, to lead us, Lord, I ask that you would give us the courage and the boldness to go and tell everyone about you. Lord, that we wouldn't keep this gift to ourselves, but that we would take it to our families, to our friends, take it to our city, take it to everyone who's waiting for a Savior to tell them that you have come and you have come for them. Lord, I pray your greatest blessings on everyone that's joining us today. Lord, watch over them. Give them peace, Lord God. Lord, I pray that right now as they are praying this prayer, as they are reaching out to you and welcoming you into their lives, Lord, I pray that you would give them this overwhelming sense of peace with you. Lord, they are saved. There is a peace between you and them. Lord, I pray that you would give them peace with others, peace in their family, peace in their workplace, peace in their neighborhoods and their communities. Wherever there is a lack of peace, Lord God, I pray that you would bring peace, peace to their hearts, peace to their minds. Lord, that they would have peace in their own hearts. And Lord, when we have that peace, we're so overwhelmed and so grateful that we can't help but go and tell everyone about this peace that's available from the Prince of Peace, the one who came to save us, Jesus. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I'll see you on Sunday in the chats as we hear about our last character in the series, The Cast of Christmas. God bless you guys.